Easter having a youth group from Kingston come in and conduct a service. So just let me know if you have any problems. Right now, I'm going to say, yes, we're going to do it. No one has said no, and a lot of people have said yes. So, okay. Oh. I'm sorry, what's that? Oh, Ash Wednesday? It'll be 6 o'clock. We were going to go at the 5:30 like the last time because of the darkness, but the general consensus is that cuts it awful close for people for work, so we're going back to 6. Okay?
And we should probably have a ministry council meeting at some point.
Okay. Just let me know when. And
anyway,
okay. For those who didn't hear it, we also need to have a council meeting in March sometime, and we'll work out a date and probably be after service again. Okay. Very good.
Good morning. Before I get started, I wanted to mention that next Sunday at the Princess Theater, can you guys hear me? Okay. At the Princess Theater at 3 o'clock, the Roan Choral Society is having a concert, an Irish concert. I don't know if you're into Irish music, but I think it's going to be fantastic. So keep that in mind if you'd like to go. Okay, we are going to sing, We Gather Together, Please Stand.
We gather together to worship, to praise, and to be joyful. We'll make noise while we're good.
Okay, now we're going to, instead of a responsive today, and we don't usually have one on Communion Sundays, we're going to do the Apostles' Creed, and there's a little reason for that. I like to do that every quarter, personally, as a habit, but I have had a request or two that we were to pray the Apostles' Creed more often than quarterly, and I think weekly is too much. It's just going to wear it out. So what we discussed and what we're going to try is on Communion Sundays, in lieu of having a responsive, we're going to do the Apostles' Creed, and let's see how that works. And again, you know, this is your service, it's our service. Any comments, any suggestions, or if you don't think that works out good, let me know. We can talk about it and make things happen or not happen in the committee. We can meet and we can change things if you want to. I have no reason to want to change anything right now, but it's not all my service. I mean, it's everybody's. So just keep that in mind. So with that, we're going to pray the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And I say it once in a while, but I mean, if anybody ever asks you, what do we stand for as Christians or Methodists, keep that prayer in your mind, because that pretty much tells you everything that we believe in and everything that we have faith in.
Our next song is I Know Whom I Have Believed.
Thank you.
seated.
Okay, so we got a little out of order, so now it's time for our invocation for the day. Dear Heavenly Father, in this sacred place, we come together as one, bound by our faith in you. We pray for unity among our congregation, and we ask that our hearts beat in harmony with your divine love. Help us set aside the differences and focus on the common threads that bind us with our and to your love and devotion to you. And as we join our voices in worship, may our unity be a testament to the power of your love and faith. May it inspire others to seek the bond of fellowship that only you can provide. And we trust in your grace to strengthen our unity, and with gratitude and unity in our hearts, we say, Amen. Okay, now we time for our tithes and offerings. Glorious God, who reveals the light of your presence, we bring these gifts as a testament to your transforming power. Jesus was transfigured before his disciples. Transform us to reflect your love and your grace. Use these offerings to shine your light in the world, bringing hope and healing. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our next hymn is Holy, Holy, Holy. Thank you.
I apologize, we're skipping around a little bit this morning, but it's time for joys and concerns. And we have a joy. For those who were here last week, you know we had a special, unexpected guest. We had Ann Robbins, the district superintendent. And I'm going to tell you that all of us were complimented. I mean, everybody, including the congregation. She said that the responses were fine, and she was happy with everybody, from the video, from the audio, the music. She didn't have any complaints for me. So I just want to say thanks, everybody. I mean, we're hanging in there. We're doing good. I mean, we had no negative comments, and I guess that's what really counts. It's important. Just for the heck of it, I mean, for those who weren't here to know the story, Saturday night about 8 o'clock, I got a text, and it says, "What time do you start?" And then it was, "I'm going to be visiting." So, you know, it was a little bit of a surprise. I didn't know anything about it, but it worked out fine. And thank you. We're doing good. Now, unfortunately, we have a death. JJ and Zoe Norman, their son passed, and we need to keep them in our prayers for sure. Keep Wanda in your prayers. She's not doing bad, but she had some problems with her feet. And she's not doing fantastic with the medication, or at least not as of yesterday. So keep her in her keep her in the prayers. And I guess, you know, again, this isn't a political thing, but we need to pray for the Ukrainians. There's a lot of conflict. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of, yes, we support. No, we don't support. I think they need some prayers, and I believe they need some help. And prayer helps, and every little bit helps. I believe that's all I've got. Does anybody have any other prayer concerns or joys? Okay. Okay, today's scripture is from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. The title of it was Jesus Transformed. About 8 days after Jesus said these things, he took Peter, John, and James and went up on a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes flashed white like lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking to him. They were clothed in heavenly splendor and spoke about Jesus' departure, which he would achieve in Jerusalem. Peter and those with him were almost overcome by sleep, but they managed to stay awake and they saw his glory as well as the two men who were with him. As the two men were about to leave Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good that we're here. We should construct three shrines for you, one for Moses and one for Elijah." But he didn't know what he was saying. Peter was still speaking when a cloud overshadowed them. As they entered the cloud, they were overcome with awe. Then a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Even as the voice spoke, Jesus was found alone. They were speechless, and at this time they told no one what they had seen. So today is Transformation Sunday. So let's talk about that a little bit. Again, you know, I'll do my little pre-scripture message. So let's talk a little bit about what transfiguration means. And I mean, the simplest definition of transfiguration is a change in form or in appearance. And for Christians, if we use it, we tend to use it in a spiritual way. Generally, when we as Christians talk of transfiguration, we visualize a great event, an event that evokes feelings of astonishment or amazement or awe. Now, given that definition, I'm not exactly sure how often you or I or any of us would see or deal with transfiguration in today's age. I mean, the odds of us seeing something like Jesus appearing with a couple of people on a hill is probably not going to happen. I mean, it's sort of a little bit more grand than we're expecting. So let's go back to the simplest definition, a change in form or appearance. And the key magic word here is appearance. Transfiguration doesn't always mean that something must physically change. It applies to how something is perceived by us. You know, does something look different, or does our perception of something change when we look at it from a different angle or a little bit closer or in different lighting? Transfiguration doesn't have to invoke feelings of astonishment, amazement, or awe. It can just simply be a different way of seeing things, or a different way that we perceive something, or a different way that we understand something. Now, in our lives, we can often experience this transfiguring experience if we pay attention to our surroundings and if we really, really look at common everyday items. Now, I have two examples that I found around the church last week. And one of them there is anybody who's walked in and out of the offices and entered over by the office doors knows that there's a little tree sitting next to the door. It's not a very special tree. I guess it is because it's closer to the building than I normally would see a tree. And I guess some people would say it might be a little bit scraggly, but it's a tree. I mean, it's there. So what's so special about the tree? What would transfigure it or change it in my mind? Well, if you look at it a little bit closer, you'll see that it's not just a tree, but it's a home to a, or it was home to a family of birds. There's a nest in that tree. The tree becomes the base and the foundation of that nest. It becomes different. It's not just a tree. It's a life support system. And although it's bare and barren now, hopefully another family will inhabit that nest this year. And as the leaf bears leaves, it'll provide shade and protection and keep the rain away possibly and shield them from the wind and just be a general overall help to that little family of birds. And to me, that makes that tree different. It makes it special. It's changed its outlook and the way I look at it in my mind. And the other one is even simpler than that. When I first got here, I looked at the candles and they were nice. And if anyone's ever done what I used to do, it was clean the wax off the candles. I said, somebody's doing a real good job because I never saw any wax at all on the candles, ever. And then it took a few weeks, but it became obvious to me that the candles also never got any smaller. They never shrunk at all, okay? So I took a good closer look at the candles, and Yeah, we can go to the next picture. Lo and behold, I found something out about them. They changed. They were different. They weren't really candles. Our candles here are oil lamps, which is a good thing. I mean, there's a lot less maintenance. They look a lot nicer. They burn good. And to me, that again, they changed. It modified my outlook. You know, now both of these examples, you can say, well, transfiguration is an awful big and fancy word for this. Well, yes, it is. But I mean, really, that's what it gets down to. It's just the basics. It's looking at something a little bit different than you have in the past and learning something about it and changing your attitude or opinion about it. And like I say, I'm awful glad that we don't have real candles. I know what it takes to get the wax off them and not mess them up. So that's a good thing. So now we can get into the scripture message. I'm done with the little bit more personal explanation here. And in Luke chapter 9, verse 29, it said that the appearance of his face changed. The appearance. He didn't look like what they were used to looking at. He looked different. He looked more. Transfigured is the word that we're used to reading here about this. That sounds more holy somehow, more theological, than to say simply that he changed. But the word here is metamorphosis, or change. So what happened on that mountain 6 days after a conversation about suffering and death? Something happened. It's hard to say what, except by repeating the words that we read there. The appearance of his face changed. What they were used to seeing, they no longer saw. Something they hadn't seen before suddenly became evident into their inner frightened eyes. And what did they see? Something well near indescribable. Luckily, there were aids to their seeing all around them to help them define what had happened in front of them. First of all, there were those other guys. Luke says it was Moses and Elijah. I always wondered how they knew who they were. Did they come with name tags? Were there prompters running around with signs? Or was it one of those they just knew kind of things? Maybe Moses had his famous staff, the staff by which he parted the sea and then struck the rock to get water. Maybe Elijah had his wilderness clothes on, a John the Baptist motive that showed he was a man of the desert, a man uneasy with so-called human civilization. Maybe it was a wild look in his eyes. And maybe Jesus called them by name when they appeared. We don't know, because not a lot of attention is paid to these two men. They were there as props. They were scenery for the lead actor. They were supporting roles on this day. It wasn't about them. They represented the law and they represented the prophets in the story of the people of God and the heights of the chosen people. But they were there to draw attention to the one who was the Word of God, the presence of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Luke is the only one who spoke of the conversation among the glowing figures on the mountaintop. They appeared in glory also. Did you notice that it said that? They also were flashing white and brilliant. It wasn't just Jesus. The others glowed also. But it was a conversation that drew Luke's attention. They were to talk about Jesus' departure, leaving from Jerusalem. They probably talked about a lot of other things, checking his tickets or reminding him of security details, all the stuff we'd worry about now. But of all the things, it was probably Moses who was the most knowledgeable because he knew about taking off and removing your shoes. No, maybe there was something else. There was something more. Now, when we talk about departure or Jesus leaving, it's more like Exodus. And Moses knew about Exodus. He knew what it was to change everything that you knew and everything that you were, even if the future was uncertain. He knew how to embrace that change, even through your fears. Now, that seems to be what this odd little moment at the top of the mountain was all about. It was embracing the change, trusting in the one who brings us through. More than that, trusting in the one who calls us to change, the one who calls us to become more like him. At least that's what it seemed like that the voice was saying, the voice that spoke, because Peter, he got the lines wrong. Peter wanted to stand against the change. Let us camp here, Peter said. Let us sit here. Let's just be. Let's dig in our heels and hold on to this moment, because who knows what the next moment is going to bring. Let us make a declaration that our understanding should never change. We've come this far. Aren't we here yet? No, the voice says. You've got a way to go. You are still becoming. Well, becoming what, we ask? Well, the answer is becoming him. This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. Pay attention to the change. Pay attention to the metamorphosis. Now, this word metamorphosis, in what context do we usually use it? Now, I remember in science class, we talked about butterflies. The process of changing from a rather ugly worm-like caterpillar into a fragile but breathtakingly beautiful butterfly is metamorphosis. It's change. Or maybe it was in earth science when we were talking about metamorphic rocks. Rock melted by the heat of the earth's core, the rock flows from one form into another. But in both these cases, there's a question. Which is the true form of the rock or the creature? Is it the one before the change? Or is it the one after the change? Or is it a mixture of the both? Is it a matter of perspective? Or a matter of timing, or is it a matter of both of those things? Where you are and when you are allows you to see one truth as opposed to another. What happened on that mountain was not so much a change into something different, but a revealing of the presence of the one who was changed. Jesus became who he was on that mountain, even though he was who he was when he climbed up it and then when he climbed back down it. Jesus is always who he is. He's always present in the fullness of his being. We can only see a part of him, the part that we need at any given moment or time. We experience only a piece, a dimension of the reality that is Christ. And we get used to that. It becomes familiar to us. But then every now and then, we catch a glimpse of something larger, something deeper, and something more profound. Every now and then, we hear a word that echoes in our souls for weeks, if not a lifetime. Every now and then, tears come to our eyes as we stand on the edge of glory. Every now and then, a lump comes into our throat as we encounter the depths of love and sacrifice. And every now and then, we climb a mountain and see what we are following in what is often the most darkest times of our lives. Every now and then, we move closer, we grow a little taller, and we listen a little better. And every now and then, we catch a glimpse of the appearance of his face. And when we do, we're astounded at the greatness of the one that we worship, the one that we follow. We are astounded, truly astounded, when this happens. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand as we sing. We have a story to tell the nation.
Now come to the service of word and faith. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And that proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. And the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. That by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit gathered on us here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you will now come up, everybody's welcome in the Methodist Church. You have no special requirements other than to believe in Christ. Beloved, may God bless you with hearts ready to listen to Christ's voice, the voice that calls us from mountaintop to valley, and the voice that may astound you by glory wherever you go. Go now in peace. Amen.